Amen. Oh, that's my, I like that singing, amen. Man, that stirred my heart, my soul. Couldn't help it, amen. Sometimes it just come out all over, amen. You know, it's reminding me, that little young man came to church, he came to the preacher. He pulled the preacher and he pulled the preacher's pant leg and he said, "Hey preacher, I got a question." Preacher said, "What is it?" He said, "How tall is Jesus?" He said, "I guess he's 6 foot like me." That little boy said, okay. He said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Well, preacher," he said, "I'm 4 foot tall. And if Jesus lives in me, that means he's sticking out everywhere." Amen? Amen. Sometimes, amen, I tell you what, amen, you can't help it. He's just sticking out everywhere. And you got to let it out. Amen. I don't know about you, but man, he fires me up. Amen. Amen. I don't know some of you, man. I'm the ending here, but you look like it. Amen. I always got people come up to me and say, "You know, I'm part ending. I'm part Cherokee. I'm part this. I'm part that." And then I look and say, "Yeah, I saw it when I was preaching. I mean, I saw that little part ending." Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel. Thank you, bro. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go there. Preach something dear to my heart here. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Before I do, I'd like to sing for you. Amen. Amen. And we'll sing my own native language, Navajo. So give you a little taste of what our church is out in the reservation way, what they sound like a little bit. Of course, they sound better than I do, but I like singing. I don't really care if anybody else likes it, but I do. And I know my Lord does. So I'm doing. You ever heard the hymn, "Come Thou Fount"? Amen. All right, here. Tō hālīje āho kāko, bāho jōgō dāho tkār, bējō bādō nēneth nehi, bāha nīgō dāho tkār. Yāshtē ye dāha tkārli, e bēshēne tkīl tō lēt, Ayo odni ye hashitke, ako ebe bahashni. God ne hiel holo ne gite, akwit eba nahika. Sare lini shet honetne, ta ebe ba ne deshtar. God bids aro yo iago, Jesus beshen ahos zen. Bahadzidi ye kedesli, bedet e ye nashisni. Amen. That's a little bit of taste there of Navajo language. Now you know what the Japanese felt like, amen? They're like, what is that, you know? That code there, they spoke there, they didn't figure it out. It's coded actually 3 layers. It was different language, and then if you understood, it was a word for another word in English, and then the English word was the first letter of that word, so it was like, I mean, layered. So it was pretty tough there. So anyway, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll look at here, the passage, a few passages, then I'm going to preach a bit. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the child Samuel minister unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at a time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and answered. He answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So up in this point, Samuel has been a young man growing up around the temple, the tabernacle, and has been ministering, been working around there, been around it for a good part of his life. I don't know how old he is. Some say, you know, just different ages, but maybe a teenager. I don't know where he's at, but he's been around this for a good part of his life here. But the Bible has a very interesting phrase. Verse 7 says, but Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He knew everything about the Lord, about church, about going to the temple, about the sacrifice, about the offerings, about everything going on there, but he didn't know the Lord. There's a difference there. Amen. Some of you maybe you don't understand that. It's one thing to know about God, the things of God, about church, about religion, about everything out there, but it's another thing to know God himself. And this passage, if you look at the end of the chapter here, look it with me there at verse number 8:19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So evidently, by the end of this chapter, Samuel not only knew the Lord, but God knew him. And then on top of that, the whole nation, from Dan all the way up there in the north, down all the way to Beersheba in the south, everybody knew that Samuel knew God and God knew him. Amen. When they got around him, they said, that man knows God right there. And God knows him. Amen. Yeah. But at the beginning of this chapter, as a young man growing up around the tabernacle, Bible says, he didn't know the Lord. Yeah. Knew everything about it. Knew what Eli did, knew what his role was, knew his place, but he didn't know God. Yeah. And so this morning, I want to preach to you on this thought about getting to know the Lord. Amen. Amen. Getting to know the Lord. Now, I think that's important. More than learning anything else in this world, you need to get to know God. Amen. You may know a lot of things in this world. There's probably some of you in here more educated than a bunch of us here. You might have all sorts of degrees by your name and everything. But man, if you miss out on God, you have done miss everything. Man, you might have learned the religions. You might have learned everything in this world, but you never know God. I'll tell you what, my friend, you have missed everything that, man, that you need in this life. Man, getting to know him is the only thing that'll keep you out of hell this morning. Without him, you ain't gonna make it. Amen? So hopefully we look at the word of God here with God's help. I mean, I'm pointing out some things here, and you get to know the Lord this morning. Amen? And if you don't know him as your Savior, I hope by the end of this thing you do get a chance and man, you take advantage of it. Say, hey, I need to be saved this morning. Amen? So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Lord, I'm grateful for, Lord God, this opportunity, for this place, this sacred desk, Lord God, to stand behind and preach, Lord. I thank you for the pastor and his invitation and the people here, Lord God. And I just don't want to waste time, Lord God. Don't want to me just to be sounding brass, Lord God. But I pray for your help. I pray your spirit would fill me. God, give me what I need, Lord God, to say what you want me to say and the way it needs to be said. And God, I just pray your spirit would have liberty. I pray, God, that your word have a free course, and I pray you get all the honor and glory out of it, Father. I pray, Lord God, you deal with hearts as only you can, Lord. Help me now. I do love you, Lord God, and I look forward to you coming again. And pray be soon. Pray all this now in Jesus' holy name, and through his blood we ask. Amen, amen, amen. As I said, I want to preach you on that thought there, verse number 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, you don't turn there, but if you look back in the previous chapter 2, it talks about the sons of Eli, the priests there, verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. They're basically just saying, man, they're children of the devil. But they were priests. You say, how in the world is that possible? It's possible for a lot of people today to be religious and still don't even know God. Amen. We think it's funny how in the news today, when you're watching the news and television, you see all these people, they say, we got so-and-so, the religious expert. They get some guy up there, and you're thinking, good night. Yeah. Why couldn't they ask my preacher? Why couldn't they ask me to come up there? Yeah. Why they got to ask this guy? And he's got degrees, and he gets up there, and he lectures, and you're just like, Man, wouldn't it be great to have one time, man? I mean, man, Fox News call you, say, hey, man, come up here, we'll interview. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I mean, yeah, give me the mic here. Let me help you out here a little while. Amen. Amen. That would be a blessing. Amen. Yeah. Now, some of you say, I don't know about that. But I mean, here you are, opportunity to tell about God. But there's all these people out there, religious, they don't even know the Lord. Yeah. But they know religion. They know the study of, they know the do's and the don'ts. And even Samuel, he knew all about the do, what to do, how to do it. He knew when to light the candle there to keep the light going. He knew what's supposed to be done. Bible says he opened the doors to the house of the Lord. I mean, he did all that stuff. He grew up out of it. He was, if you remember him, he was born. His mama prayed for him, and then she dedicated him to God. He was given to God. So from a young age, he was around that temple and tabernacle. I mean, working and doing everything there, and he grew up that way. He knew what was supposed to be done. Now, I kind of liken it to church folk, religious folk. They know everything about what the church do. Well, I'm supposed to go over here, I'm supposed to give money, and that preacher gonna do this and that and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they know all about it, but you know what they don't know? They don't know God. That's sad. You think why? Because I mean, you know everything and don't even know God. You're gonna miss out on heaven. But by the end of the chapter, Bible says they knew him, God, and God knew him. I mean, it was all them. So what happened there? Well, there's a few things here, man, a little bit here that'll help you get to know God. Number one, I believe this here. If you want to get to know the Lord, you got to meet him personally. In this passage here, you know what? The Lord met with Samuel, and Samuel met the Lord personally. I mean, the Bible says he came and stood there, called. Samuel came. And I mean, there was a one-on-one meeting with the Lord there. If you want to get to know God, you got to meet him personally. There got to be some point in your life, some place in your life that you can point to and say, hey, right there, that's where I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, you can be members of all sorts of religions in this world and never meet the founders. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? You'll never go to heaven. You'll never be a Christian. You'll never be a child of God without meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. There got to be some point, some place in your life that you got to take me to and say, hey, that's where I met him. Amen. When you meet someone like that, you don't ever get over it. You don't ever forget about it. You don't forget about it. You don't say, well, it was no big deal. I meant traveling a lot. I meet a lot of people. Hey man, I met a few movie stars here and there. They're really not worth mentioning. But you know, I know what airport I was at. Yeah. I know what they were ordering. Yeah. Famous pop singer, man, while I was standing in line there, came up, walked beside me, started ordering, and I looked and I thought, good night, man. And I kind of looked at it. I just kind of said, are you? And then he said, I said, I thought so. I said, all right, see you later. Walked away and I thought. That was kind of anticlimactic. I thought it was going to be a big thing, but then, well, all right. Maybe one them. Now, I told my sister about it. My sister said, you know, they were down there for that, in Austin, Texas, for the South by South. She explained all that. I'm like, well, I guess it was then. Well, never mind. All right, big deal. The thing was, what? Met him in the Austin airport right there, ordering at this fruit stand there, man. And I remember it. Do you remember the place you met Jesus Christ? Some of you, man, you know where it was? Side of the road somewhere. Some of you, man, was right here. A while ago, I had that man out here in the office. Some of you was at your bedside. Some of you was at your table. I remember one time, man, with this lady back when I was pastoring there. I remember this lady came to our church there. And they came, her and her husband, they come, or the husband-to-be, they said, we need someone to marry us. And will you marry us? And I said, let me talk to you a little bit. And I sat down, talked to them a little bit, witnessed to them. They both got saved right there. And, man, they ended up doing their wedding. All that business happened. And, man, later on, I was giving testimony. About years later. I said, anybody here want to testify? I mean, her hand was raising. I thought, man, she'd never say nothing. First time she got, she said, I remember it was at your kitchen table. That's where I nailed all the sin, my sins to the cross. That's where I met Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, amen. I like that. Amen. You know what? She took me back to the place. She remembered where she was when you met him. Do you remember that place? You may not remember the exact time of day where everything was, but was there a place that you can take me to? The last verse of the Gospel of John, chapter 10, the Bible says this, and they believed on him there. Yeah. Says there. Yeah. They knew where there was. Yeah. Where's your place? Samuel says, I was at the tabernacle. I was sleeping one night. And God came calling. I met him there at my door. You got a place like that? You want to meet the Lord? You want to get to know him? You got to have a place where you met him personally. Man, we don't have time. But man, it'd be nice to go around the room sometime, talk to folks. Where you tell me, just don't say all the flowery things. Just tell me, where was you when you met Jesus Christ? Man, I mean, people give you all sorts of answers. Driving here, this, doing that, and the other. Man, that's great. Because, man, I'll tell you this. I ain't got over it, and you shouldn't get over it. Amen. Every now and then, you should just tell someone, hey, guess what? That's where I was. Drive by it. Amen. You know, I drove over there to that. I was in Sunday school hour. Man, over there in Canadian, Oklahoma. That's where it was at, Canadian. I know Canadian, Oklahoma. I had that little place right there. And I said, right there, under that tabernacle, right there. That's where I, man, told the Lord, I'll do whatever he wants from here on out. I know the place. Amen. You? Some of you say, well, I had this little thing going. I was doing. We're not talking about the baptistry. Yeah, amen. By the way, is that the baptistry that I've seen?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of you may not understand that, but for me, amen. Yeah. But I'll tell you what. Where's your place? Is there a place where you can say, oh, man, I knew I was a sinner going to hell. I needed Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you ever want to get to know the Lord, you got to meet him.
That's right.
You know, right? Some of you talking about men, they've been mentioned about Mormonism, whatnot, and Utah. You can go over there, Salt Lake City, Utah. You can go down there to the Mormon Tabernacle and get inside there and look at all that temple over there and all that business there. You can become a Mormon. You can go through that whole business there and never meet Joseph Smith. Never meet Brigham Young. Never meet any of them and still be a Mormon. You can convert to Islam. Never meet Allah, Muhammad. Never meet him personally. You can be part of the animist culture like my people's. Go out here, start worshiping spirits and trees, animals and things. And never meet any of them. Nothing, nobody, never know any about it. Some of you can say, well, I'm part Indian. Then you get your little card out and whoop it out and say, look, I got this much blood. I don't need a card. You can see mine. Never ever meet the chief. But I'll tell you, if you ever want to be saved, born again, child of God, you got to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I heard about him. Ain't good enough. Well, I know a little bit about him. And no. There's a difference between knowing him like that and then getting to know him personally.
Yes.
I've met him. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
I know, man. I Shiprock, New Mexico, 1983, August 1983. I don't remember exact day, but it was a Sunday. And that month, 1983, that's when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I got born again. I know, man. And I could take you to that church that's still there, Navajo Baptist Temple. It's right here on this side over here. Man, on that little altar there. And I always go by there. Every time I get there, go visit that preacher. And I walk by. I said, somewhere in this area. I swear, that old man right there took the Bible and he showed me right where to get saved. I said, it was right here in this place.
Yeah.
Kind of nostalgic for me when I go back there. But I always remember that's the place where I met the Lord Jesus. You got a place like that? Some of you, you know what? I may help you out here. This could be your place right here.
Yep. Yeah.
Every time you drive by out here in the road, you go say, in that church right there, that's where I met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, it maybe don't have to be here today. Maybe be outside. The preachers are somewhere, but man, show me a place. Samuel kept saying right there that night, that tabernacle, he came to my doorstep, called my name. He said, that's where I met him.
Yeah.
Man, it'd be good you get to meet him today. Wouldn't it be a shame to, man, him be here calling your name and you just leave? One day you got to stand before God and give an account of this day, this message. And God said, I stood there calling you and you walked away from me. I was there for you waiting. And you leave. I'm here to tell you something. Don't leave this place without meeting the Lord Jesus. You want to get to know him? First thing I do is you got to meet the Lord Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
You want to get, you also want to get to know him better? Number two, you know what you got to do? You got to make this precious to you. The Bible says the word of the Lord was precious in those days in that verse 1. No open vision. Then the last part of that chapter there, you know what it says? Bible says about Samuel there, it tells him, it says, he did let none of his words fall to the ground. I'm here to tell you this morning. You want to get to know the Lord God of heaven? You got to make this precious to you. Amen. This Bible right here, make it precious to you. Today, too many times we got other people out there got everything precious. One of the most precious, most people's precious possession today, a lot of times a cell phone. Because that's what they turn around and go home for.
Yeah, come on.
Man, I was proud of your preacher yesterday.
Yeah.
We left, went to eat at a Mexican restaurant. And he forgot his phone, never turned around. We went out all evening. That impressed me. Why? I don't see preachers do that. I don't see people do that.
Yeah.
They'll be all right. I like that. That just impressed me, man. I thought, man. He moved up a few more higher on the rung for me. I thought, man, that's...
Amen.
I know you laugh, but how many of you would do that?
Yep.
And I'm just thinking, it's just me, man. I mean, we can go turn around. You know, I'm not that important. You know what it made me feel? I thought, man, cool. But most people today, that's not the most precious thing no more than. You want to get to know the Lord? You got to make this precious to you. This has got to become part of your life.
Amen.
You ever had to turn around and go back for it?
Yeah.
You ever had to leave it somewhere? And then he said, oh, man, I need to get that back.
Yes, sir.
I encourage you, man. All these preachers and people, they got their, what they call their Bible reading lists. They got all their programs, how many times they read it through in a year. I understand all that. Me, this is the Bible reading program I advocate. The lifetime. You say, what do you mean by lifetime? Some point in your life, finish it. Genesis, Revelation. Some point. Maybe all you have here, but maybe there are a few of you struggle every year. Right now it's January, just like your goals to lose weight, exercise, and everything else. I'm going to read through this year. And right now you're still fired up. A couple of weeks now, you'll miss a day or two, and he's, I'll catch you, I'll catch you. Finally, then by March, you say, forget, I can't do it this year. Well, wherever you started, just pick up there again.
Yeah,
see, there's this little ribbon in there. Just leave it there.
Yeah.
And don't be ashamed if that ribbon's in the front, like right here around Genesis or Exodus. Just leave it there.
Yeah.
Just say, well, I stopped there. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
Just keep going on.
Yeah.
There is some places, man, you get bogged down.
Yep.
Now, I tell you, man, when you get to Leviticus, oh, Lord, mercy. Actually, after the Ten Commandments, see, it's real exciting, Exodus.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the red, parting Red Sea, the plagues, and oh, man, they're going out. Man, God's feeding them out there. Oh, man, look at this right here. And then the gold, the ouches, the tatches, the boards, the sockets, and, huh? The badger skins and the the blue and the woven and the interlay and I tell you why you're like the silver and well, I always heard silver's a picture, and then you try to keep the types right: silver, redemption, brass, judgment, gold. Which is which? Then you're like, you get to 44, man, you finish Exodus, then you go to Leviticus chapter 1, then you're like, all right, the offerings. And then it's like, and then there's a wave, and there's a heave, and there's a sheaf offering, the first fruit, and then you got to do this, and you slit the throat and the blood. And then you get to 13 and 14, the whole chapter is dedicated to leprosy, and you're like, yeah, I see it. Remind the offering, bring the offering here, bring the offering there, and you're like, yeah, okay. You know, three times in a year, every male shall bring in the first day of the first month, and then you're like, I've read that before over here, but we'll read it again here. You know, and then read it again. And some of it does get tedious. Help me out here, amen. I'm telling you. Then you pick up numbers again, then you're like, oh, Lord, he's counting everything. Then you get to chapter 7 of Numbers, and there's like 80-something verses there, and you're like, Lord, there's 12 princes. Every one of them gave the same thing. Why couldn't you say 12 princes gave this? Why did you have to say Nashon, the prince of Judah, gave one silver charger, one bowl full of flour, and everyone, why is everyone got to say the same thing, Lord? Read it 12 times in a row. I mean, 11 times, and you're like, okay. And then you go to the next one, and that just, then it starts picking up again, man. Deuteronomy. Joshua, man, yeah. Judges, I mean, Judges, just up and down. Go, Israel! Oh, the Canaanites took him again. Go, Barak! Go, Gideon! Oh. The kings, and oh, all right, David's here. Amen. And then you're reading the kings, and then, I mean, sometimes it does get rough. What you do, you go through it. You know what you're not realizing? It's going through you. It's going through here. You know what it says in the New Testament? It says over there, it says the Holy Spirit of God, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. You know what happens? All of a sudden you're out there talking to someone, and they're talking to something, then it sparks something right here, and you're like, you know, I read something about that, and they're like, where? In the Bible. You know, in the Bible, they said they do this, right? And they're like, and they think you're a prophet fell out of heaven. You know what happened? You made this precious. After a while, it's no longer just names and things, and you're like, yeah. Man, Lord, when I get there, can you show me that? I'm not saying he's going to. Man, I don't know if the Lord's got screens or DVD or something on, man, but Lord, I'd like to see that. That would be awesome, man. Man, some of that stuff in that Bible, wow. It's going through your heart. You know what it's doing? It's building your faith. It's building your trust in him to the point you're like, I don't want to read chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. You finish out 9 and 10. It's going so well, but you're hoping maybe this time it'll be different. David, go with the kings. Go with the kings. Don't stay in Jerusalem. And you see by the end of the thing, look out for Absalom. Look out for Absalom. What happened has come part of your life. It's everything you got. Amen. You get to the Psalms. You read things. You go through there. You go through the man, the minor prophets. You know what it does? It sits in your heart. Next thing you know, one day you're reading. And you come across one word. And that one word, the Lord says, you and I need to meet here. Down south, we call it a come to Jesus meeting. Lord's waiting for you. The Holy Spirit waiting for you. When you read that verse, he said, okay, now let's do this. And you're like, okay. Back home, they have a Bible that I don't take with traveling because I don't want to lose it. There's pages in there just soaked. When you get water on it, it's from crying and snot all over it. But there's dates on it. You know why? Right there. Me and the author, man, we hit head to head there that day. You'll get to know him. Get this. Yes, sir. This becomes precious. You show up, man, at a place you've never been before. First thing you do, you unpack your stuff. First thing I do, man, you unpack it. You take this out and you put it on the pillar. You say, why? That's weird. It's become precious. Sometimes you're by yourself. Motel room, what do? You take it out, put it there by you. Just hold it. Say, Lord, I ain't know what's going on here. It's kind of lonely out here. Say, man, you sound weird. Yeah. You done made it precious. No time. How many times has bailed you out? It's guided you. It's been your light. It's been, man, your food. It's been everything you needed. It's become, yeah, I'm dispensation. Yeah, I know, man, rightly dividing the word of truth. But, man, there's place in there. Lord, I don't care. That's written for Israel, the Jew, yes. But, Lord, right now, I need that. It's helping me.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what I've done? You done make it precious. You know what I get to find out? I find out who my God is. I find out, yes, he's a God of love, but also he's a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy. But also he's a God, man, of violence, compassion. Say, where's that at? Man, well, he had compassion on Jerusalem, But then the next day he went and made himself a scourge and ran them out of the temple. I tell you, that's my God. You reject him now. One day he's coming back as your judge. Where? Here. You want to get to know him? Get in here. Get this thing, man. One of my favorite, I have at the house, man, is this, the R.L. Allen Bible. Man, I love that one, man, because it's just, it's fancy. Highland goat calfskin. It's got three blue ribbons. It's got notebook paper in the back. You can write on. And then you take it out and you do this. Man, something about the smell of a new Bible like that, man. It just, it does something for me. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. You want to get to know your God? Make this precious. Number three, you want to get to know your God? Number three, you got to move when he deals with you. The Lord came and said, Samuel. Samuel popped up, jumped up, and ran over there to Eli. Eli, Eli, what's going on? He said, I didn't call you, go to bed. That Bible says it happened four times. Now, I don't know if you see this, but some of you, you got to see this. There's a miracle happened right there. There's this phrase that going around, people say, how'd you sleep last night? Oh, I slept like a baby. That means every half hour I rolled around and cried. Amen? I have revised that saying. It's not sleep like a baby, it's sleep like a teenager. Can I get a witness, some of you teens right here? I mean, you get them on that bus, bro, Alan, you put them on that bus and you drive them several hours down the road. They sleep the whole time, and then they get there and they're like, oh man, I'm tired. Like, dude, you slept the whole ride. Man, some of them, they go to sleep like at midnight, then they'll sleep till noon the next day, then they wake up, oh man, I'm just tired. I'm like, what, from what, man? You've been sleeping 12 hours. You could drive that bus over the bumpiest road, hit every pothole, and it never wakes them.
Yeah.
Drool, everything coming out, man. Sleep like a teenager. Mm-hmm. So the miracle in that passage when the Lord said, Samuel, he jumped out of bed and ran over there. So I guess he's probably a teenager by that time. You imagine trying to get a teenager out of bed four times in one night? All you mom and dad, you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's Samuel. You know what happened? He moved when God called him. When God calls you, do you move? The Spirit of God deals with you about something. Do you move? Nope. Kind of made that joke about y'all earlier, and then like some of you, you just, you don't move.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, but some guy told me, man, they singing. Oh, I know it was getting a hold of your preacher. I could hear him. I was getting up, standing up back there behind the youth choir, man. I'm like, yeah, amen, hallelujah. It fired me up. Sometimes, man, the Spirit of God gets to bear witness. I like to move. Jump up. Oh, man, I remember in my church, there's one of the guys, he just got saved, got into church there, and I sit behind him, three or four rows. He never been to church like where people shout, enjoy himself. He's sitting there, and people, hey, man, they're getting all singing. And he's like, you know, he's kind of watching that. And I remember I seen him first time, he's kind of just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I look, I'm sitting behind him, I'm like, man, did he just try to raise his hand? He almost got in there. He something was stirring now. I mean, and he did that, and I'm like, say, man. It took a while, next few times, I mean, of that, then it was, you know how they are, and it's awkward for them because they don't know how. They're kind of like, you know. So what was that? You know, well, I guess he's trying to praise God and raise his hand, but he still feels weird about it, so he's trying to work it out. And it wasn't long, man, before, yeah, amen, glory, glory, he's doing that amen chop, amen. That next thing, you know, the two-hand raise comes, yeah, glory. Oh, y'all, the day he did the stand and shout, whoo. My wife is over there singing. They have a trio there. They said, man, is anybody here that's found him faithful? Say amen. Whoo, son, it got over me. I said, yeah, hallelujah. I seen him jump up on the front row. Yeah, he couldn't have it no more, man. I said, whoo. You know what was him? He come from one of them real dignified churches. Where they just, well, we don't do that here. He was afraid. But you know what? No one told him. No one said anything. You know, God began to deal with him. He couldn't help it. He had to move. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when you got to move, you got to praise God. Sometimes he moves you into an altar. Sometimes he moves you to go deal with somebody. Visit them. Talk to them. Sometimes man says, hey, that guy needs a track. Get yourself a track and go over and give it to them. Sometimes he moves you, hey, you need to pray for these people. And no one knows, just you. You go and pray. That's what God does. And the more you move when he deals with you, the more you get to know him. I'm going to shout and praise God. I ain't never spoken tongues. I do sing in Navajo, which is different. Amen. I ain't never worried about rolling around, being like, well, just barking at the moon, charismatic stuff. You say, why? Because I know my God. I'm here to tell you this morning, you want to get to know him, you need to move when he deals with you about something. Some of you this morning in Sunday school are, God, deal with me about that one thing. You need to move on that one thing. But you're just sitting there like, I don't know, it's not in my nature. Man, I'm an Indian. You all seen the pictures of Indians? You ain't seen not one of them smile. They all look like they want to kill you. They just got that murderous look in their face. Amen. Preacher said, oh, that guy don't have enough hair you can cut. I said, oh, there's other thing we can cut off. Amen. I mean, just, we're ready. Stoic, mean. I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't either. It's not in my heritage. But I can't help it, man. Sometimes I got to move when God deals with me about something.
Yeah, amen.
Sometimes take money out of your pocket and put it in someone else's pocket. Why? God dealing about it. I just want to be a blessing. I want to move when God deals with me. I learned this. The more you move, the more you discern, the more you learn between your gut feeling, your conscience, and God dealing with you. Amen. The Spirit of God bears witness with something. I say, oh, man, that is good. Praise the Lord. You want to get to know him? You got to move when he's dealing with you. You move when he deals with you about things? That still small voice of God comes to you and says, hey, this right here. When he deals with you about in scripture, deals with you through preaching, deals with you. A lot of times he uses the man of God to say something to you.
Yep.
You respond to that?
Amen.
You want to get to know him, you got to move when he deals with you. Amen. You want to get to know him? You got to get around the people that know God. Samuel ran first to Eli. He didn't run to Eli's sons. He ran to Eli. Eli discerned. He said, hey, God's dealing with you, man. You know who I wanted to get around? When I was a young preacher, 16 years old. I was 17 years old. I started getting to preach at places. Man, I was just a kid, real bad, green. Man, I had to get around these other men of God because I said, man, what day God I want? But at the same time, man, I get real nervous. I'd stand by and say, oh, man, these men of God. But they had something about them that I wanted. They knew God. I appreciate the way they prayed. You know what's the first thing that got a hold of me about these older men of God, these older preachers? The way they loved their Lord. Man, they gave their testimony. This is my life of sin. And they talk about their life of sin. Then one day I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I got saved. And, man, they just said, like, Lord, I'll never know that life. Lord, they love you because they come out of that hard life, that bringing up on the streets and drugs and alcohol. I'll never know that, Lord God. But Lord, it seemed like they know that so well. They knew that so well. And then when they met you, they fell in love with you because it was something different for them, Lord God. I'll never love you like that, God. I want to love you like that. I don't want my love, Lord God, just to be just something I say or just something I go through. God, those men of God, they have a love for you that I ain't got. But God, I want to love you like that, Lord.
Amen.
And I want you to know, Lord God, you are the best thing in my life. God, you're not the only option. You're not my last resort. You're not just something left over. You're not just something that mom and dad put in my heart. You are my God, Lord, and I love you, and I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to do the best I can for you because you deserve the best, God. Lord, I'm looking forward to one day seeing you, Lord. And Lord God, I don't know, Lord God, how it's going to work in eternity, Lord God. Got no idea, Lord, and I don't mean no disrespect, but one day, Lord, I'd like to walk up to you and put my arm around you and just say, thank you for saving my daddy. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for bringing me here, Lord.
Amen.
I look forward to that. I'm all about the humility, falling on his feet and worshiping. But man, just to put my arm around you, oh, thank you. Woo. You know where I learned that? Getting around these other people that love God.
Amen.
I want to know my God like they knew him.
Amen.
You know, people gravitate towards people that they like or whoever they are. Who do you gravitate toward?
Yeah, come on.
Man, if I was to ask you, who, don't point them out, but in your mind, tell me, who in this church, if I was to say, hey, who knows God in this church? Who would you go to? You need a prayer to get through. You need to get a hold of God. You need someone to help you get a hold of the Lord. Who would you go to in this church? Here's a better question. Would anybody come to you?
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you this morning. You want to get to know your God? Get around those that love him. You know, young people, it's going to keep you in church, not just our separation standards, rules, and all that. You know what's going to keep you in? Fall in love with him.
That's right.
I've had things I've gone through in life, and they're just like everybody else has. But man, one thing is, I said, I love you, Lord, and that's it.
That's right.
That kept me going.
Yeah.
Fall in love with him. Get to know him. Get around the people that love him. See, well, all them people just hang around here. Why? Because, man, we love him. There's a bunch of things I can preach out of this here. But man, I think God's doing something here.
Yeah.
You want to get to know him? Get around the people that know him. Get to the place where he moves. Move when he deals with you. Make this precious to you. And if you've never met him as your personal Savior, why don't you come meet him right here? He could be calling you today, say, hey, you're the one that needs to be saved. You religious. Or maybe you're not even religious. You just came here and said, well, I don't know. Today, God looking for you, saying, hey, this is for you. You need to be born again.
Amen.
Don't pass that up. Why don't you get to know your God this morning? Get to know him. Let's bow our heads here.